present a seaside saga of post-war pier perpetuation, written by Harold Snowd and Michael Knowles, starring John LeMessurier as Arthur Wilson, Ian Lavender as Frank Pike, and Bill Pertwee as Mr. Hodges in...
It Sticks Out Half a Mile!
The time, 1948. The place, the pier, Framborne-on-Sea. Somewhere on the south coast.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of this meeting of FOFPA, the Friends of Framborne Pier Association. Thank you all for coming, and don't forget to tell people about the party night. Cheerio!
Frank?
Yeah?
Are you sure this party thing's sort of, wise?
Of course it is, Uncle Arthur. It's a wonderful idea.
Whose idea was it, exactly?
Mine.
Oh, I see.
See, we want to get the local people interested in the pier and, at the same time, make some money to go towards the repairs.
And why are you having it in the theatre again?
Well, we thought people might find it a novelty to cross over the 40-foot gap to get there.
Oh, by the way, Frank, Mrs. Roberts has volunteered to sell tickets from the shop she works at.
Hey, we could do a special notice put in her window. Something like, step inside, get together with old friends on our party night.
I'm not sure that's an awfully good idea.
Why not?
Mrs. Roberts works for an undertaker's.
Well, perhaps we'd better fix another outlet as well. Oh, I nearly forgot, Pikey. Mr. Williams is hanging on to have a word with you about bunting.
All right, thanks. Come in, Miss Williams.
Good Lord. Is that the time? It's essential I get away early tonight.
I've tidied up, Mr. Hodges.
Oh, thanks, Miss Perkins.
Oh, if you're going now, Mr. Wilson, we could walk down the pier together.
Ah, yes. I'm sorry, Miss Perkins. It's essential that I stay on tonight and discuss some important matters with Mr. Hodges.
Oh, what a pity. Well, good night, then. Good night, Mr. Hodges.
Good night, Miss Perkins. What are you playing at, Arthur? I thought you were desperate to get away.
Not that desperate.
Well, Miss Perkins still after your body, is she?
Well, let's just say she is fairly persistent in her attempts to be alone with me. Do you know, the other day at the bank, she got us locked in the vault together for 10 minutes.
Aye, aye. What happened?
Well, I managed to keep her at bay with 5 pounds of copper. Then she accidentally leant on the alarm bell.
Oh, that was a bit of luck. By the way, how's Mrs. Pike these days?
Oh, well, I hardly ever see her now, you know. Must be weeks since we got together, you know. I mean, since we met.
Oh, yeah. Pull the other one.
For you, Mr. Wilson?
Yes, I'll have the jam roly-poly, please.
Oh, very good, sir.
Oh, thought you'd be here, Uncle Arthur.
Oh, hello, Frank. You had your lunch?
I'm going without today. I've been down to the theatrical costumiers instead. About my fancy dress for the party night.
Oh, yes, of course. What are you going as, then?
I'll give you a clue.
A kiss is just a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh.
There. Who says that?
Evelyn Holm.
Don't be silly, Uncle Arthur. You know very well it's Humphrey Bogart.
Oh, yes, of course it is, yes, yes. It's awfully good, Frank.
Anyway, while I was there, I suddenly thought, what about Uncle Arthur?
Oh, it's all right. I've decided what I'm going as.
Ah, what's that?
A bank manager.
That's what you are.
Precisely.
Oh, come, don't be silly. There was a smashing costume there, just about your size, so I got them to put a label on it with your name.
What is it?
Arthur Wilson, of course.
What's the costume?
Oh! Julius Caesar.
Julius Caesar?
Yeah, you look terribly impressive. There's a helmet, breastplate, tunic, all the cross gartering.
I'm not going as Julius Caesar, and that's final.
Here you are, Mr. Wilson. One jam roly-poly with a double portion of jam, as usual.
Oh, thank you very much.
And I hope you enjoy it.
Jam roly-poly?
Yes.
When you come and eat at our place, you always tell my mum that you can't stand jam roly-poly.
Yes, yes, well, you see, the truth is, Frank, it's actually my favourite pudding, and I don't consider your mother can cook it properly.
Can't cook it?
No, it's always very heavy.
Heavy?
No, Frank, don't keep repeating what I say, Frank, for heaven's sake. It's awfully boring.
I'll tell you one thing, Uncle Arthur.
Yes?
My mum would be very upset if she found out you thought her roly-polies were heavy.
Yes, I suppose she would.
She might never ask you round for supper again.
She certainly wouldn't give you any afters.
She's not likely to find out, is she?
Well, let's put it this way. I think it's very silly that you should go to the party night as a bank manager. I think you should go as Julius Caesar. Do I make myself clear?
Perfectly. Frank, I suggest you forget about Humphrey Bogart.
What do you mean?
Go as Judas Iscariot.
Come in.
Excuse me, Mr. Hodges.
Yes, madam, what can I do? Good Lord. It's Mrs. Pike, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Well, what can I do for you?
Well, it's like this. When Arthur was offered the job as manager of the Framborne branch of Swallows Bank, I moved over here from Warmington so that we could still see a bit of each other.
But I understood from Arthur that you and he don't meet up quite so often these days.
Well, that's why I'm here this morning. You see, we used to see each other most nights at evenings of the week. Till a couple of months ago when he got himself tied up with your peer activities.
Well, there's a lot to be done.
Oh, I know. And I want to volunteer my services. That way I can be close to Arthur. I expect you could do with another pair of hands, and mine have been in the WVS.
Oh. Don't worry, nobody will notice.
Right. Well, that's settled then. Oh, incidentally, your party night on Saturday is still on, isn't it?
Yes, why shouldn't it be?
Oh, Arthur hasn't mentioned it. Still, perhaps he's going to surprise me at the last minute.
You know it's a fancy dress, do?
Oh, I've got that all arranged. I did it as soon as Frank told me that Arthur was going as Julius Caesar.
Arthur as Julius Caesar?
Oh, he'll look wonderful in a short tunic. He's got just the legs for it.
Yeah, well, I'll take your word for that.
Anyway, when I found out he was going as Caesar, I hired a Cleopatra outfit.
Oh, very clever.
By the way, not a word to Arthur about the fancy dress or about me joining the association. I want to surprise him.
I think you'll do that all right.
Cooey! Mr. Hodges!
Oh, hello, Miss Perkins.
What are you doing in West Street?
I'm on my way to the costume place to sort myself out a fancy dress.
Oh, I've just come from there.
Really? What are you going as then?
Well, whilst I was looking round, I found a Julius Caesar costume reserved for a Mr. Arthur Wilson.
Good Lord, did you really? How extraordinary.
Anyway, I immediately asked if they had a Cleopatra costume for me.
Blimey, what a great idea.
We'll look a proper pair, won't we?
You will indeed. Arthur shall look good and all.
I beg your pardon?
I said, you'll put real art into that wooden all.
Oh, I see. I'm dying to see Mr. Wilson's face.
So am I.
Well, good luck with your costume, and I'll see you at the meeting this evening.
Actually, you won't. I can't make it.
Nothing serious, I hope.
No, it's my wedding anniversary. Usually I tend to overlook it, but this year I can't.
Oh, why is this year so special?
Well, it's Covent Garden, you see.
Oh, you're taking your wife to the ballet?
No, not exactly. She says if I don't take her to the pictures tonight, she'll stop getting up at 4 every morning and driving the lorry up to the market.
Quiet, please, folks. We'd better make a start. Right, thank you. Now, this meeting of the social subcommittee is to make the final arrangements Saturday and to take a vote on certain things.
Now, before we start, can we be sure that we can get the party guests over to the theatre?
Oh, yes, Mr. Walcott, yes. I rang the builders, and they are starting work tomorrow, filling in the gap, and the first thing they'll do is to build a temporary bridge for their workmen, so we'll be able to use that.
You didn't tell the builders that.
Of course not, Mrs. Briggs. Do I look daft?
Are we going to take a vote on that?
Thank you, Mr. Walcott. Now, Uncle Arthur. How have you got on with borrowing records for background music?
Not awfully well, I'm afraid. I made a list. I've got a cracked copy of Harry Lauder singing Road to the Isles, a medley of vocal gems from the Maid of the Mountains, sung in Cantonese.
Where's Cantonese?
It's not a place, Frank, it's a Chinese language. And also a selection on tom-toms of authentic voodoo dances.
Is that the one you got from the vicar?
Yes. And he wants it straight back afterwards.
I've got a record of Albert Whelan whistling.
Have you?
I saw him at the Alhambra once. He whistled whilst he slowly took off his white gloves.
I saw Phyllis Dixon the following week. She took practically everything off and the audience whistled.
Mrs. Williams had promised me a record of Handel's water music, but it got warped when her pipes burst.
I wonder if we ought to try and get some live musicians.
I shouldn't think live musicians would want to be seen dead at our do.
I was wondering about the ding-dong men.
Where are you?
I beg your pardon?
The ding-dong men. They're a sort of a splinter group of the Framborne Music Society. The leader plays the tubular bells, hence the name.
Are they any good?
Well, they've done the odd function.
Just how odd, exactly?
Oh, there he goes again! Him.
What instruments do they play?
Tubular bells, violin, piano and euphonium.
I think Mr. Woolcott should see if they're available.
I think she's absolutely
right. Right, I'll ring Willoughby later.
Willoughby who?
Willoughby Smallpiece. He's their leader.
How do you happen to have his number?
Well, he's also my brother-in-law.
I thought the name rang a bell.
Tubular bells, actually.
Oh, just one thing. Is there a piano over there in the theatre?
Oh, yes. I noticed an old upright on the stage a couple of weeks ago. You remember, Mr. Wilson, that was when you and I nearly got marooned together over there.
Yes. It'll be some time before I forget it, Miss Perkins.
It's bound to need tuning.
I'll arrange that.
Here, are we all right for electric light over there? I mean, we don't want any accidents.
We don't want too much light either. After all, it is a party.
We need an ambience.
We can talk to the St. John's people about that.
No. No, Frank, no. Ambience, not ambulance.
Oh, sorry.
I really think we ought to have as much light as possible.
Well, I agree with Mr. Wilson. Dimmed lights help to create a subtle, romantic atmosphere.
On second thoughts, Mrs. Briggs does have a point.
Can we move on to the subject of food now, please?
Sausage rolls, cheese, French bread, spam, sandwiches and jelly. Yes, I think I've got most of it laid out now, Mr. Hodges. Do you think it looks all right?
Well, I think it might be better if you didn't have the celery and the ring donuts side by side.
Oh, Mr. Hodges, really? Now, what's the time? Oh, only another hour or so and people will be arriving.
There's still quite a bit to be done, as well as changing into our fancy dress. Oh,
you haven't let on to Mr. Wilson about me going as Cleopatra.
Good Lord, no. Oh, here comes Mrs. Briggs.
Oh, look, she's already got her fancy dress on.
Hello there.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Briggs. I like the fancy dress.
Mrs. Mopp, isn't it?
This isn't my costume. I put this on to clean out the lavatories.
Sorry.
Excuse me, ladies. Before Mr. Wilson and I fall off these ladders, would you tell us if we got this banner level?
Up a bit your side, Mr. Wilson.
How's that? Oh,
yes, that's it. Tie it off there.
Hey, just a minute. Arthur. Yeah.
What is it?
Well, I know I'm only an ignorant greengrocer, but I've always thought that the word party had only one T in it.
What? Oh, no. Where's Frank? Has anybody seen him?
Yes, he went into the storeroom over there to get his fancy dress on.
Well, already? Frank!
Coming!
Sorry. What's all the noise? What's going on around here?
Oh, look, Mrs. Briggs. Mr. Pike's dressed up as Maurice Chevalier.
Actually, I think he's meant to be Humphrey Bogart.
Oh, yes, of course. It was just the costume and the voice that fooled me.
Look, Frank. Frank, you've put two T's in party.
Oh, so I have. Sorry.
It wouldn't matter if we were having a tea party.
Oh, no.
What's the matter now, Mr. Woolcott?
I've just had a dreadful thought.
Oh, dear.
Well, it's off to confession for you tomorrow. I heard that one on Bandwagon the other day.
No, this is serious. I clean forgot to get the piano tuned.
Oh, Mr. Walcott, how could you?
I'm terribly sorry. 0 out of 10 for efficiency, I'm afraid.
I think that's marking it rather high.
Perhaps the plan would be okay as it is.
What, after 10 years?
Well, I'll go and have a look at it.
Okay, Parky. In the meantime, we'd better leave the banner where it is. Let's put those steps away and the glasses need laying out.
Hello there. My name's Willoughby Smallpiece. I'm the leader of the Ding Dong Men.
Oh, yes. How do you do? I'm Bird Hodges. I'll introduce you to everyone else in a minute, but at the moment, there's a bit of a panic on.
Oh, is something up?
Hello, Willoughby. Dreadful news. I've goofed. Forgot to get the piano tuned.
Oh, dear. Sam will be livid about that.
Who's Sam?
Sam's our pianist.
And Arthur,
what is it, Parky?
I think it's just as well Mr. Walcott forgot to arrange for a piano tuner.
Well, why? What do you mean?
Oh, the piano's just an empty box. There's no wires, no keyboard, no nothing.
Well, perhaps the mice have got at it.
Or moths. I had a cardigan once.
Oh, be quiet, both of you. It's obviously just a stage prop.
What are we going to do? We must have a piano. Wait a minute, I've got an idea. One of our neighbours gives piano lessons. I'll see if she'll lend me hers.
Well, it's worth trying. You've got about 3/4 of an hour.
Right.
Leave it to me, partner. I'm your man.
He's meant to be Vic Oliver.
Now, you will do your best, won't you, Mr.
The name's Bogart. Humphrey Bogart.
Oh, what a coincidence. You choosing that costume, I mean. Anyway, as I was saying, please do your best. Sam, our pianist, was so looking forward to this date. He hasn't played Framborne Pier for over 15 years.
But don't worry. I'll be back. Tell Sam he'll play it again.
Now, where's the crown thing?
Hello, Framborne Pier.
Listen, Blue Eyes, this is Humphrey Bogart here.
Oh, hello, Mr. Pike.
Oh.
Have you found us a piano?
Oh, I couldn't get the one from our neighbour. She was teaching a little girl the minute waltz. It was taking hours.
Oh. So what's the situation now?
Well, I'm at the Methodist Church Hall. They're having a choir practice, but they said I can borrow their piano as soon as they finished. But, by the way, what are you doing in the office?
I've just been changing into my fancy dress.
Oh, see. Well, we'll be back as soon as we can. Should be quite a sight, Mum and me, both in fancy dress, pushing a piano.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'm going back to the theatre now, and I'll tell them you're on your way.
Tell them not to worry. Here's looking at you, sweetheart.
Oh, sweetheart.
Oh. Is it safe to come across the bridge, Mr. Wilcott?
Yes, of course, Mr. Wilson. I was just having a last-minute check.
That's very wise, after all. When the contractors fixed up this temporary bridge thing for their men, they didn't know we were planning to use it to get 200 people over to our party.
Exactly. My word, I like your costume. Julius Caesar, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. I'm trying to work yours out. Why have you got a banana strapped to your head?
I'm supposed to be Isaac Newton.
Oh.
But my wife forgot to buy any apples. So I had to make do. It was either this or a scotch egg.
Yes, I see. Well, I think you made the right decision. Oh, here it is. I'm going inside. It's a bit chilly out here. Not a lot of warmth in cross-gartering, but I'll see you later. Oh, hello, Mrs. Briggs. Or should I say, old Mother Riley?
Well, you can if you like, dear, but I'm supposed to be Carmen Miranda.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Hello there, Arthur. By Jove, that's very impressive.
Thank you. It's not awfully comfortable, actually. And I say, you make a very good Bill Sykes.
Oh, tar. I had to choose between this or the Artful Dodger.
Oh, well, it would have been ideal for both.
Oh, here comes Miss Perkins.
Hail, great Caesar!
Perkins? Good Lord. Why on earth are you dressed like that?
I am Cleopatra.
Yes, I can see that, but why?
Well, why not? I think it's rather nice. You as Caesar, me as your Cleopatra. It sort of unites us.
Yes, I suppose it does.
Well, I must go and sort out the fruit juices.
Oh, by the way, when I was up in the office changing, Humphrey Bogart rang. I mean, Mr. Pike rang about the piano.
Oh, yes.
He's waiting for the Methodists to finish their choir practice, and then he and his mother will get the piano down here. I must get on.
Well, that's good news, eh, Arthur?
Yes, what? Oh, yes, 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 very good, yes. You know, I can't get over Miss Perkins coming as Cleopatra, but I'm here as Caesar. I mean, the odds against that happening must be 1,000 to 1.
Well, at least 1,000 to 2.
Beg your pardon?
Nothing, nothing. My word, this place could certainly do with a lick of paint.
Ah, that reminds me. Rainbow Paints have just opened a southern depot on the other side of Framble.
Yeah, I read about it in the Gazette.
Well, we've taken on their account, and I happened to mention this pier project of yours to their managing director, and he's very keen to help. He's going to let you have all the paint you need at cost.
Well, that's awfully good of you, Arthur.
Yes, well, you know, I'm trying to help.
Yes. Arthur?
Yeah?
You know, just now you said it was, a bit of a coincidence, Miss Perkins turning up as Cleopatra.
Yeah. What about it?
Well, I think, that is, I know that Mrs. Pike is also going to turn up as Cleopatra.
Mrs. Mrs. Pike as Cleopatra?
She wanted to surprise you.
Well, she succeeded.
Could be a bit embarrassing, I suppose, you standing here as Julius Caesar with two Cleopatras. Mrs. Pike, for instance, may jump to the wrong conclusions about you and Miss Perkins.
Yes, you're right. Of course, there's nothing between Miss Perkins and I.
Oh, but will Mrs. Pike believe that?
Yes, well, that's what worried me.
Stand by, everybody. Here come the first customers. Evening, sir. Madam, nice to see you.
I wonder if I can persuade either of my Cleopatras to use their asps.
It's all going awfully well, Mr. Wilson, don't you think?
What? Oh, yes, 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 I suppose so, yes. I was just thinking about the piano.
Oh, I expect Mr. Pike's been held up by the Methodists.
Is this one working? Right, quiet, please. Can I have your attention a moment?
Oh, Mr. Hodges is going to announce the raffle.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a grand raffle for you tonight. The first prize is a large tin of top-quality government surplus snook.
Oh, yes.
Second prize is a tin of national dried milk. Third prize is a bottle of Miss Perkins' homemade elderberry wine. And the fourth prize is a tin of fruit salts. So get you home, all right? So make sure you buy your tickets for Mrs. Briggs. Right, carry on then, folks.
Really, Miss Perkins, if this piano doesn't turn up soon, my ding-dong men will go off the boil.
I'm sure Mr. Pike will be here any minute now, Mr. Smallpiece.
Well, I certainly do hope so.
I don't.
Mr. Wilson, Miss Perkins, Mr. Pike and his mother have arrived. They're just getting the piano onto the bridge.
Oh, Lord.
I think we ought to go and give them a hand.
Oh, yes, good idea.
No, Miss Perkins, no. You stay out of sight. That is, in the wall. This is man's work.
Come on, Mr. Hodges. Lend a hand.
Look out, Mum.
Good Lord. What on earth was that? Frank, what's happened?
The weight of the piano must have been too much for the bridge. It snapped in two and the bridge and the piano have gone into the sea.
Oh, blimey, we're cut off. Quick, close the door. We don't want to alarm everybody.
Where's your mother, Frank? Is she okay?
Yeah, look, she's over on the other side.
But where? I can't see her. It's so dark out here.
Arthur? Is that you?
Yes, hello, Mavis. I can't see you, but are you okay?
Sorry, Uncle Arthur, I didn't know the bridge would break. It wasn't my fault.
Really, of course it wasn't. Of course it wasn't, Frank.
Look at my poor mum.
Well, I can't see her, actually.
Well, think of my poor mum, then. All alone, over there on the other side. I mean, we may have all been cut off from the rest of the pier, but she's going to miss the party.
Yes. She is, isn't she?
And you can't see it because it's too dark, but she's got a special fancy dress and all.
Has she, really?
A bit like Miss Perkins, actually.
Really? Good Lord.
Mrs. Pike, could you go and ring the fire brigade, tell them what's happened and ask them to come and get us off?
Going to be a short party, Bert. I expect people ask for their money back.
Oh, that's the point.
Mrs. Pike, tell the fire brigade not to come until 11:30.
Back then? No, don't bother. I'll call him with Frank later.
All right.
I think we'd better go back in and carry on as if nothing has happened.
Yes, a very good idea.
Come on, everybody. Inside. We I mustn't forget this is still a special occasion.
Arthur?
What about saying a few words?
Yeah, go on, Uncle Arthur. Go on, say something.
All right, very well.
Right, hang on.
ladies and gentlemen, quiet, please, for your local bank manager, Mr. Arthur Wilson.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to propose two special toasts. Firstly, to Cleopatra's Everywhere, coupled with absent friends. And secondly, to the future of Framborne Pier, especially this part of it, and all who sail in her.
You've been listening to It Sticks Out Half a Mile, starring John Le Mesurier as Arthur Wilson, Ian Lavender as Frank Pike, and Bill Pertwee as Mr. Hodges, whose characters were originally created by Jimmy Perry and David Croft. Also in the cast were Vivian Martin as Miss Perkins, Janet Davis as Mrs. Pike, Michael Knowles as Ernest Woolcott, Hilda Braid as Mrs. Briggs, Gordon Clyde as Willoughby Smallpiece, and Miranda Forbes as a waitress. It Sticks Out Half a Mile was written by Harold Snowden, Michael Knowles, and produced by Martin Fisher.